River Valley Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner is our guest on WRCO for his monthly visit. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Phil. How are you this morning? It's great to see you. It's great to be out amongst this, you know, it's nicer weather after the weekend, but it's still, you know, it just feels like it's been a chilly spring.
It does. Yeah, chilly and wet. I know your spring sports teams have endured a few cancellations.
Yes, they have. You know, baseball and fast pitch softball and track and soccer. They've been practicing a lot inside too because it just gets chilly, you know, when it's 45 degrees and windy and wet outside. It's not, you know, your muscles freeze up, and it's not conducive to a good softball game. So we've been doing our best to get those practices in and getting a couple of those games in, but hopefully some warm weather comes our way.
I said for many years, and nobody would listen, but football should be played in the spring and baseball and softball in the fall, you know. But
that would be quite a change for the United States. I think that'd be great. I love that idea.
It would.
Yes.
Sure. Well, since the last time we've talked, big news in the Valley, your referendum passed. Let's talk about that a little
bit. Yeah, so we have tabulated the ballots and they've been certified, and we had our canvassing meeting, and that's been really good. And I wanted to thank the people that come and help us with our canvassing meeting. That's always somebody that's just really helpful. And our clerk, Sarah Karstensen, a former clerk, Deb Nelson. I think there's another lady there. I'm trying to think of your names. Maybe Linda Rundahl and Paula Wadig. Those ladies certify our vote and go through an entire process to make sure that the ballots are true to the numbers that we get from our municipalities. So we have the 11 municipalities that push into us that we had those two questions going. We had some people running for school board. Those ballots had to be tallied up. And then we had our operational referendum ballots come in as well. And so that's been certified. And I just wanted to officially thank anybody that voted. On a total, we had 4,513 people vote in our spring election. That's incredible. And that just shows that people want to be involved in their civic engagement. They want to be involved in their civic duty of being a part of that voice. And so anybody that was from the River Valley area or in general in southwestern Wisconsin that got out the vote, I thank you. It's important for people that have things on those ballots to hear back from the public. Yes, I'm thankful that it also passed, but I'm also really thankful for their engagement. So a huge shout out to anybody that was a part of that vote this spring. Just know that your local officials like me are really thankful for you being involved in the process. So that's really good. And we didn't pass by a huge margin, but we passed our vote. So we did pass an operational referendum for the River Valley School District for the next 3 years. So that gives us the money to continue our programming, to continue the services. Again, I'll shout out, this was not for buildings. This was not for a capital effort to make a new school or to do any big changes. This is to continue the day-to-day processes in our district. And our people are really proud of the work that we do. We're really proud of the work that we do. And so we're excited to just continue the great traditions that we have over in the Valley.
When does the new year begin?
The new year really begins July 1st. So, you know, kind of that calendar year for districts starts July 1st. Mm-hmm. So we're in our third year of a three-year referendum, and then we'll start another one in our new year. So this one will go for the 25-26 school year, the 26-27 school year, and the 27-28 school year. So in the spring of 28, most likely, I will be out talking again about operational referenda. But I will say out loud to anybody that's out there in a civic group or in a village or even a township that really wants to know how your school dollars are spent, continue to reach out. You shouldn't just wait until these 3 years go by, every 3 years in River Valley, and say, I wonder if they're going to need that money. I wonder how they're spending that money. We'd love to be a part of the conversation all the time. So if you're out there and you want us to come and explain school funding, please let us know. We're here for you. We're wanting to make sure that it's transparent and that we're sharing that information.
You know, some people think, well, just, you know, don't spend beyond your means. Be frugal and those kind of things. And all of you guys in the area districts, you're doing what you can. You're being frugal, I think.
Yeah, I do think so, too. We have really been really careful about spending. I think they've been really conscientious as a board to be conservative. They're not willy-nilly out there spending and building and doing the different things. So we will maintain our buildings. We'll maintain our programming. We'll remain and maintain our services. But those are things that a school board helps us out with, and they really have done a great job. River Valley's a proud district. They're proud of the traditions that they have, and I think they've spent really carefully. It is a challenge. I'll be honest with you. We probably will not get our state budget back or approved this year until October. but we have to have a budget ready prior to that. And so we are based on projections. And Brian Cry was here with me last month, and he talks about the state's not really kind about giving us timely information. So we will probably more toward August, September, October is what we're hearing from the state, get our budget dollars. Until then, it's all projections. It's all guessing. And that's hard. That's hard for a kid that kind of, in my mind, if you don't have it in the checkbook, you can't spend it, right? Most people don't have checkbooks anymore, but be even on that.
I do.
You know, I do too. You know, it's that idea that you're kind of having to hope and have that strong will of being conservative so that whatever does come out in October that you've planned really conservatively for it and you've done your best to make sure that you're going to be successful with the fiscal year.
Another topic that's been in the news lately, Lauren, is the possibility of funding for Wisconsin public schools being cut.
Yeah.
I know that's a tough subject to tackle, but can you talk about that a little bit?
Certainly can. And my information today is going to come straight from the Department of Public Instruction. So that was a big thing that has been going on. We have a new Department of Education leader. And so that, as well as a new presidential team, has come into office. And within that, they've given us new recent executive orders to kind of really take a look at federal funding and programs that support public schools and really think about how those things are funded. So the state has really, I guess, they dived into that big idea on where are those resources being used. If they cut federal funding from Wisconsin, it would be close to $841 million. And that dollar amount is high, but it's less than most states. And I guess I would also say it's 8% of Wisconsin's school funding. So in all districts, which there are 431 in the state of Wisconsin, it's 8% of the Wisconsin school funding budget. That would be catastrophic to a lot of districts. And I just need you guys to hear out there in radio land that this money is being spent on really important things. I'm not here to tell you whether or not you think it's good or bad, but that money, just so you know, goes for school meals for hungry kids. It goes for free and reduced lunch, which there's an entire process to make sure that you qualify. It's not like we get to pick who that is. It goes for special education services. So those kids are disabled. In some ways, and that is extra funding to help make that happen. It's for learning supports for kids of poverty. It's for mental health supports. It's to make sure that class sizes, and that's called AGR, it's called the old SAGE stuff, where we try to keep in specific districts where there's high poverty, you try to lower the class size. So within that, that $841 million goes to kind of those five big pots of dollar, and that would really gut some of those programs. So I guess as you hear about school funding and federal funding out there, when you're listening to your local news, it's really important. I wanted to take a moment to just think about what does that mean per districts in kind of Richland County. If you look at the Richland School District, which is my neighbor, it would be $1.9 million that would go. That would be catastrophic to the Richland School District. That would be 10% of their total funding if they pulled federal funding. For River Valley, it's closer to 5%, so it's $830,000. For Ithaca, for example, it's 6% of their total funds, and that's right around $300,000. And then it's 8% of Riverdale with around $770,000. And those are just some of the districts that kind of tip into that Richland County that I wanted to make sure that I shared. So we all know of families that have great need. We all know of families that are impoverished, and those kids need our help. I'm a public educator from my toes to my nose. So within that, I believe that this federal funding gets used appropriately. And our districts are given great kind of parameters that we can use. We can't take in federal funding and spend it on something like an athletic performance. So within that, just know that your federal funding is possibly in jeopardy. It's something that the DPI is watching really carefully. It's something that executive orders had proposed cuts in, and that I just want them to hear that those dollars mean a lot to your Richland County schools.
Lauren, how do they determine, like for instance, Richland District federal funding is higher than River Valley's and so on and so forth?
It's often determined on a percent of kids in the district that qualify for free and reduced or that are in poverty. So that would mean if it's 8% of my budget but 10% of Richland's budget, that would mean they have a higher percentage of kids that have that need. But like in River Valley, excuse me, I just said that wrong. We're at 5% of our total budget, which would also mean that we don't have as many impoverished kids possibly as Richland County does, right? Or Richland Center, excuse me. 6%, it would mean that Ithaca probably doesn't have as many kids of poverty as Richland does. But it shows a higher percent in Riverdale, so they might have a higher free and reduced rate. So it's all based on how families qualify and identify for free and reduced lunch.
Yeah, I believe Jeff was here the other day from Riverdale, yep. And I think it was over 50%.
Yeah, and so in River Valley, it's closer to 35%. So there's a great example of 50 to 35. He would get more federal funding, or a greater percentage of his budget would come from federal funds.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. And I know that cuts have been made for the Department of Education as well. That's a whole different ballgame.
It is a whole different ballgame. And there's a lot of, I guess I'll call them executive orders, that are coming out to school districts right now. And we're really working with our legal teams to try to figure out how to best meet the demands, but also comply with whatever request is coming our way. And it's just a lot of phone calls with our legal teams. To be honest with you, there's a lot of battling that's going on between federal and state. And it puts a lot of our little districts like us all in kind of the crosshairs. And it just feels like that's not the great work that we want to do. I want to protect the kids with the funding, but I also want them just to move ahead and be good readers and be good mathematicians and be good people. So the hard work in the classroom continues, where on the backside, there's a lot of political kind of jockeying, I guess I'd call it, going on right now. And I just want to make sure people are informed, and that they can always go to the Department of Public Instruction's website, which would be dpi.wi.gov. And it's going to have all sorts of kind of awareness that they could dig in if they ever wanted to research where the monies go.
The school board has a lot of job duties, you know, and I think, I don't know if we talk about that, but let's talk about the River Valley School Board, because I know you have a new member or two now, don't you?
Yeah, so we had three members on our board that were up for election. Area 3 was Mr. Jeff Meyer. He's an incumbent, so he's been there and he's staying there, and it's great. Jeff's a local businessman. He lives out in one of our zones, and he does a great job out there in Iowa County, and he represents well. Jeff Meyer's returning to our school board. Then up in Area 9, which is closer to Plain, that's actually the village of Plain, that's John Bettinger, and he's returning to our school board. So those two incumbents, Jeff and John, I appreciate their work. I appreciate their energy. I appreciate really their fiscal knowledge. They're smart. And once you've been around school boards and understand kind of the complexities of a budget like Jeff and John do, they give us great guidance. And they're part of the team that keeps River Valley running. And so I'm really proud of that great work that they've done and the history that they continue with. But in the village of Spring Green, we have a new member, Sarah Young. Sarah Young is our old member that's going off the board tonight. It will be her final board meeting tonight. I'm really proud to have gotten to know and to work with Sarah Young. She's an incredible asset to our community. She's a great example for kids and citizens to understand what civic engagement really is. Get involved, be a part of the solution, right? Rather than just complaining, jump in. And so she was great at that. And Sarah's finishing 10 years on our board, and she's being replaced by our new school board member for Area 6, Emily Beck. And Emily is a great member of our community. She has a child in school, so she's a younger parent. And I think her energy and her experience and being a mom of a kid in the schools will really help us. So she gives a unique perspective like all our board members do. And we're just excited to have Emily on board.
I think it's important to have board members from all stages of life, isn't it?
It is. It's really nice to have retirees. It's good to have business people. It's good to have farmers. It's good to have young moms. It's good to have dads. It's good to have all those different kind of roles played out on your board. And we've got a diverse board. We have a 9-member board, which is a larger board for a district our size. But it's a great board. And it's a board that also, as they made the district in 62, I believe, it really had the inception of making sure that all the townships and villages were represented. So we have zones, if you will. So again, we have the town of Spring Green, village of Spring Green, village of Plain, but town of Bear Creek. But we also have Troy and Lone Rock and Buena Vista and Arena and the town of Arena and Wyoming and Clyde and Black Earth and Honey Creek and Franklin and Ridgeway and Ithaca. All those different townships have a portion of the River Valley School District in it. And so those are divided up into 9 different zones for my district. And each one of them has their own personality, their own history, their own great representation on my board. And so those 9 member boards come together to do the great work of the school board. So I'm excited for us to have, again, that board ready to go and to kind of take on a new charge of what the new year brings forward.
Well, you were stumping for the referendum the last couple of years. You got to know some of those towns really well, didn't
I
you?
I did, yeah. When we're out there, it's really nice. And again, the town of Black Earth gives us 3 votes, but that's okay. If there's someone over on that side of Iowa County that wants me to come out and talk about finances, I'm more than happy to do it. The town of Ridgeway only has a couple voters up that way from our district anymore, but we also are happy to go out and inform them. Obviously, our biggest ones are Spring Green, Village of Spring Green, Plain, Lone Rock, Arena, Township of Wyoming. There's some bigger, you know, sex or zones out there, but more than happy to stump in their areas and go out and talk to anybody. So yeah, anybody that needs me to come out and explain, I'm glad to do so.
The referendums that passed, not only River Valley, but there were a few others. Yeah. They were all close.
And, they were.
And I think it is really, it kind of shows the times a little bit, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's a tight budget, right? Everybody gets it. It's tight times, and we understand that. And so Riverdale's passed by a slim margin. River Valley's, I would say, passed by a slimmer margin than I wanted, right? Cuba City was another one that passed by a slim margin, and that's somebody that we know in southwestern Wisconsin. But a place like Weston didn't pass.
Yeah.
A place like Baraboo didn't pass. A place like Dodgeville, that's a neighbor of ours to the, you know, south, didn't pass. And so those districts, their boards and their administrative teams are going to have to dive in even harder. Some of them have not passed consecutive times now. And so they're just having to go and cut. I think it was Dodgeville that the next day had to give pink slips, if you will, to 13 people. Just had to go in and say, well, it didn't pass. You 13 people will not have a job next year.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest asset in any school district is our personnel. But our biggest cost in any district is our personnel. So the only thing that really makes that big dent in a budget is firing people, and really having to tighten and not offer the great things that we offer to our children, because that's who it really goes to. So it's unfortunate. I understand that the purse strings are tight. I really do feel that, and I want to respect people's votes. If you voted because you truly feel like you can't afford it, I respect your vote. I always will respect that civic engagement that you've given. And I can't say anything about it except that the majority wins. And in those areas where it's failed, the majority won, right? Like, that's still the civic duty of our country to have our voices heard. Mm-hmm. And so I respect that. That's part of the civic engagement process in our democracy. Have to stand up for that if I stand up for public education. However, I'm thankful that ours was on the other side. And so for the ones that didn't pass, I offer them great wishes as they go ahead and try to figure out what to do next. For us, we get to move ahead and let it be known again, we cut $1 million before we went to referendum. So we tried to cut early to make sure that people knew that we were tightening and right-sizing where we needed to. And I think that people heard that. They saw that, and they were thankful that we were doing that to make sure that we were being fiscally responsible. So I again, my heart goes out to those folks that have to work within those budgets, even if it didn't pass. And it was on a slim margin for many.
Your board members, as you talked about, they have a big challenge themselves, coming up in the next couple of years. Maybe you could go over a little bit about a board member and what's expected of them.
Yeah, well, the first thing I'd love to say is Jeff and Emily and John, the ones that you just voted for in the River Valley District, and many of you in other districts voted for board members. That's truly an example of civic engagement. So I'm a big person that says, put your money where your mouth is. Like, if you're out there and you're truly invested in education and you have great questions, I'd love for people to consider running for their school board. It's a great position to have. It is local government. You are an elected official of the region then. Again, a school board is a job that is an elected official based on your neighbors. And I think it's one of the most powerful things to do in a region is to be a part of a school board. A school board has to consider federal law, state law, and local policy. So it's taking a look on that whole thing. You heard me talking about federal funding affecting state funding. That's exactly what a school board does. They have to take a federal mandate, take a look at how that hits the state budget. They have to interpret that state budget and bring it into a district budget, and then figure out how to prioritize using your policies to set a local budget. And so the board is very involved in the budget, and they're also involved in great oversight of the administration and the district in general. So my bosses, as the superintendent of schools, are my 9-member board. Yes, it's my parents, and yes, it's my teachers, and yes, it's my students, but ultimately, the ultimate vote of who is evaluating me comes from a board. And those boards out there are the ones that are evaluating that administration in that district to make sure that it's continuing to make that progress. So big jobs for a board is to hire and evaluate a district administrator. Another big job is to make sure those policies reflect the community. Another job is, like I said before, is to adopt that budget. Another big part of that is to oversee negotiations if we ever get into a battle about how we're going to pay for things. And then in general, they have to advocate and make strategic decisions based on the region that they represent. So yes, they kind of represent, if I will, like the zone of Lone Rock. But within Lone Rock, then they have to come to the table and represent Lone Rock, but represent the whole at the same time. So that's an example of what a board might do. And it's really about good governance. It's really about taking those ideas of being an individual, representing an area, and then being part of a civic board to kind of have that vision of how to create, if you will, the strong beliefs of a school district as you move forward.
I think that that's where people kind of lose focus sometimes is, it's easy to sit in the weeds and complain about things. It's a lot harder to step up and run for school board, right?
It is. And it is. And really, your voice is heard on the school board. So one of my members doesn't have to agree with everything that's being said at the board meeting. There's civic engagement there. That doesn't mean it's civic conformity. That means it's civic engagement. And so they get to be there to talk, to discuss, to debate, to really think through the depth of that issue, and then they get to vote, and the majority wins. So that's why you always have to have a quorum and a majority on every board meeting to make sure that it goes forward. You're right. It is easy to stay out there in the weeds and complain, but true is civic engagement. True parts of democracy are to be a part of that. And there are times that school districts really can't find anybody to run for a board.
Right.
We're lucky. There's a lot of people kind of, I would say, in the River Valley area that are really engaged in that civic engagement and really want to be a part of the vision of the district. And for that, I feel really thankful. I try to say every time I sit in this chair and I talk in the microphone that I have one of the best jobs in the state of Wisconsin. And I truly do. And I think that's partly due to my board. They don't agree with each other, but they are kind and they are respectful of each other. And they do the work for the kids and the teachers and the community with heart in mind. And so I really believe they represent well. I do think that people think that they're all just yes men and women that are just agreeing with each other. They are not. They have great debate. They have great conversations at our committee meetings. And within those committee meetings, they do great work to bring forward to the full board that they will have great discussion and make decisions about how we move ahead.
And you could also always use more people attending the board meetings.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times then things get spread around in communities that, this happened or that happened. If you see it for yourself, you kind of know what's going on.
Absolutely. People are always welcome to attend public meetings. So our committee meetings are on Monday nights at 5. So they're almost all held at the River Valley Middle School in our library. That's kind of where our board meetings are as well. But those persons that are attending those meetings do get a chance to have their voices heard as well. There's public comment time at the board meeting tonight, and most often nobody stands up. Nobody comes or nobody stands up. Yet, I think they have great ideas on how they want our district to run. So, again, I think being a community member and coming in and sharing your voice is a good thing. And I welcome that always. Again, the board's there to work through the strategic plan and the goals and the budgets and the allocating of stuff. But the public should be there to make sure that the board is doing what they want them to do. And that's a good thing. They voted for these people to represent them. So I want to make sure that they're continuing to reach out to our school board members as well to make sure that the board members are doing the work that they want them to do. I think that's part of being accountable to your community. And I think my board is more than willing to hear from their constituents for sure.
We talked about sports getting underway, but you're right in the heart of band, solo ensembles, and forensics, and math team was out, I think, recently.
Yes,
as well.
There's so many great things that happen for a school district. I'm so pleased. They just had district solo ensemble. I believe they were at Prairie du Chien this year, and just tons of kids going down there. But, when we're sending kids to solo and ensemble, I want people to also think, well, that's a kid that maybe has a saxophone, right? He's going to do a saxophone solo. Great idea. He's practiced for months, or she, by the way. And then she or he is going to play that solo, well, they still have to have an accompaniment. And so they have to have another person there. Their parents have to probably come and be there. We have to get them on a bus to get them there. It takes hundreds of people to make something like one event, like solo and ensemble, happen. Or for a math team to get to something. Or for an FFA team to go to a local judging contest. All of those things take people and volunteers and great effort. Yes, it's probably, I would say, facilitated by our district, but the great work of our community and the people that support River Valley are the ones that really help us get everything done. So there's always something to be proud of. And yes, we've got, you know, baseball and fast pitch and track and soccer and all those things happening, but we also continue to have great things like youth apprenticeships that are out there in the job place. But we just had Skills USA go to Madison, and that's for welding and all the great things, and they go to state competition. FFA continues. You just said things like solo and ensemble for instrumental as well as vocal. So all of these things are what keeps kids interested and engaged in school, and we're just excited to offer all those great things.
Seems like just yesterday you were talking about the start of school.
Yep.
And here we are, you know, your next monthly visit, you'll be into the final month of school.
We are. We are right now in our final quarter, if you will. So we're in the final 9-week stretch. We're in the fourth quarter, as many people have grading periods of fourth quarter all around the state within their schools. And so it's kind of also a really important time for parents to hear from me that it's testing season. So in the state of Wisconsin, there's mandated tests, standardized tests that started back in the 80s and 90s that are now pushed forward. We've been doing them now for about 25 years, but those federal mandated tests that the Wisconsin Department of Instruction mandates that we do happen in the spring. So right now the Wisconsin Forward exam is happening. That also in the high school turns into the pre-ACT, which is a mandated test that we have to take. And there's also some new literacy tests that kids have to take in the spring as well. So it's definitely what a teacher would consider kind of the season of testing in the spring. We'll get through these in the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then we'll really only have about 5 weeks of school left where we'll do that downhill slide, get to those final field trips, and we'll be off to another summer.
Oh, that is just crazy. And then, of course, this summer is not going to be a typical one at River Valley's facilities.
No.
When does the big move start?
So again, based on some decisions that were made in December, we have the big move. It's going to be exciting times. I'm looking at it as an opportunity again, not just the trouble that comes with it, but again, because of the closure of our early learning center up in Plain, which housed our 4K and 5K, those students and families will be moving down to our elementary school. So our new elementary school will house 4K, 5K, grades 1, and grades 2. Where we currently have a middle school, that will now become an intermediate school, and that will be grades 3, 4, 5, and grade 6. Then we're moving 7th and 8th grade over to the high school for the backside on a wing of their own. So our junior high, River Valley Junior High School, will be inside the high school building now, but that'll be over on Varsity Boulevard, and that will be grades 7 and 8. And then the typical high school with 9, 10, 11, and 12 will remain at River Valley High School. So even though that's 4 entities, it's 3 buildings now. What that causes is the Great Migration. So within the Great Migration, we will have probably out of our 100 teachers, about half of them moving. So boxes are being delivered as we speak, Phil. There are boxes going to the front entryways of every building, and teachers, as they complete the lessons from like winter things, are putting it in a box. They're starting to pack up the things from last fall, now are in boxes, so that week after we get out of school, I believe it's the first full week in June, which would be June 3rd, I think might be a Monday. I'm guessing, folks, if I'm off by a day or two. But June 4, 5, 6, 7 will be days where teachers have to pack up their classrooms. So those 50-ish teachers will get ready for the Great Migration. Then throughout the summer, they'll have stuff moved out of that room, placed onto a pallet. Stuff that was in their new room will be moved out of that room. The room gets cleaned by a team. Their stuff gets moved into that room. And then when August comes around, by mid-August, we have promised our educators that all people will be in their new spaces. So in June and July and August, there will be a team of, I don't know, I'll call them Santa's elves, that will be helping with the Great Migration and getting everything to the right spot. And so there's a lot of packing, a lot of boxing, a lot of taping, a lot of labeling that's going to be happening in the next month and a half, and getting things ready for what I'll yes, kind of consider this the Great Migration as we come down to that main campus in Spring Green.
You didn't say Great Migraine. You said Migration.
No, migration. Yes. No, there will be no migraines. Everybody's doing it with a positive song in their heart, you know, right? So we'll try to, you know, whistle while we work like we try to do, and we'll just continue to move forward. It was a decision that was necessary for the River Valley School District. Mm-hmm. We have the student numbers to fill three buildings, not four. People have been asking, so what are you going to do with that extra building? I am sure that the board will be making some decisions this spring, and I'll talk about those when I come next time.
Okay.
I'm sure that building will go up for sale. I would assume that's what's going to happen. The board has not made that final decision yet, but as that comes forward, then that becomes an asset to a community again. That school building up in Plain will get to be utilized for something else, and it's got great bones. Somebody will be able to take those great walls and turn it into the next functioning thing for that community, and we're excited to do that for the Village of Plain. It's still part of my district. I want to make sure that transition happens smoothly for whoever and whatever goes into that building. So those are things that we'll be looking forward into May and June as we go ahead. And again, the sale of that can only help us because we'll bring in some funding and it'll help us fund the great things that happen in the Valley.
Absolutely. Always good to see you, Lauren.
Always good to see you too, Phil. Thanks so much for the time, everybody.
Have a great rest of your April, and we'll see you in May.
Yes. April showers, they'll bring those May flowers.
Something like that, yeah. Lauren Glassbrenner, administrator from the River Valley School District, in for our monthly visit on The Morning Show.